Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
Okay, question number one. How far apart should I take antacids from my prescription medications? There's two ways I want to answer this question. So let me just answer the question first, and then I want to talk about antacids. so there is an issue here, because when you change the pH within the stomach, within the small intestine, that can affect the absorption of certain medications. Not all of them, but certain ones. So just to, you know, be on the safe side, most doctors will tell you that when you take a medication, don't take any antacids. But it's confusing, because some doctors and some prescription bottles will tell you to not take them within an hour. Some will say not within 2 hours, 3 hours, what have you. But of course, if you're suffering through some heartburn, which, by the way, some medications cause, it could be hard to wait. So the best answer I can give you would be to separate the antacid from the medication by at least 30 minutes, right? Better, probably closer to an hour, but at least 30 minutes. Most people, excluding anybody with absorption issues, stomach issues, that kind of stuff, most people will digest and absorb nutrients, food sources, etc., within about 30 to 45 minutes. So 30 minutes would be the soonest you could probably take a medication after an antacid, or, you know, vice versa. Now I want to use this question as a springboard into just my overall thoughts about antacids. Now, if you're taking antacids on occasion because of heartburn, you know the sausage pizza that you eat always gives you heartburn. You're going to a pizza party, there's going to be sausage pizza, and you just can't help it, and you have a couple slices, and you get heartburn, and you take some antacids. Fine, that's not a very big deal. On occasion, antacids are fine. But what I'm finding, and I know this from friends and family members, people are eating these things like candy. And that worries me a little bit, because you are disrupting your gastrointestinal pH, specifically stomach pH. You're gonna decrease your ability to digest food and absorb nutrients. You have to keep that in mind. As a matter of fact, a lot of the minerals have a hard time absorbing from your food into your bloodstream when you have a lot of antacids on board. If you are eating 2, 3, 4 antacids after every meal, which is not that uncommon for people, I think we need to address, you know, the reflux issue. We need to avoid those foods that are your triggers, as much as you may like the sausage pizza. I say sausage pizza because that's my trigger. So I can't tell you the last time I had pizza with sausage on it, because I know that just does it for me. So you just sometimes got to make the tough choice. So right there, look at your dietary triggers and try to avoid that. Caffeine is strong for some. Chocolate. I just talked to someone yesterday. I was at a health conference and I did a lecture, and she eats chocolate, she gets heartburn. And that's the only time she gets heartburn. So what did I tell her? Of course, her question was about antacids, and it was about another nutrient I'm gonna share with you in a moment. But I told her, no, you maybe need to not eat the chocolate. I mean, that's your trigger. Okay, so if you are taking antacids every day, multiple times throughout your day, there is something better I think you could try. It's natural. It doesn't affect the pH like the antacids do, and it's called D-limonene. L-I-M-O-N-E, limonene. D-limonene comes from the rind of citrus fruit. It has a nice coating effect in the stomach. It works. It's one of the most effective supplements I've seen. D-limonene for heartburn. Now, if you have ulcers, you cannot do D-limonene. So if you have ulcer disorders, that's not for you. I'm talking about the person who's just eating the antacids, they get heartburn, that kind of stuff. D-limonene is something you should check out. And it works so well that once you've taken it for a couple weeks, some people can completely control their heartburn with only maybe one or two a week. And they come in capsule form. So D-limonene. would be better, in my opinion, than antacids on a daily basis. Number two. Question number two. Life Extension published an interesting study on vitamin D in HIV patients. The conclusion said that it can, quote, improve immunological parameters, end quote. What are those parameters? Good question. All right. Yeah, we did. The clinical department here at Life Extension, we do clinical research. We've done over almost $140 million in 10 years. Looked at high-dose vitamin D in HIV patients. I think it was 7,000 units a day. And they looked at the standard immunology profile. They looked at T cells, CD4 cells, all that kind of stuff. What they noticed, though, were three significant changes. Number one, and these are the parameters, naive T cells. These are brand new T cells that come out of the thymus that are ready to respond to new infections. So naive T cells went up significantly. CD4 cells, the helper cells that get attacked by the virus, they also increased. And then, of course, viral load decreased. So there was some sort of inhibitory viral inhibition with vitamin D as well. So not only was vitamin D helping the patient's immune system, it was also providing, and we're not sure how, but it was providing some sort of inhibition on viral replication. And that's why viral load went down. So T cells up, CD4 cells up, viral load down. I mean, that's the goal, really. Now, these patients were already on therapy. And we were just looking at what would vitamin D do to somebody who's already being treated? What would it do? Would it improve things in any way? And it did. Vitamin D improved, as we said, these immunology parameters in HIV patients. So that was at 7,000 units, which is a high dose. So that was exciting for us. Question number three. Do you think it's safe to use? Do you think it's safe to use topical silver for open wounds? Oh yes, silver. Okay, so silver's been around for a long time. It's known as an antimicrobial, has antiviral effects, antibacterial effects. People take it in pill form. So the question here is: there are silver gels and stuff that are now available, silver creams, and I know there is some research. Specifically in MRSA, the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, that's the dangerous bug out there that can get into a skin open wound and really cause some major, major problems. And there has been some pretty positive benefits with these types of silver gels. I don't have the specifics on it. I don't have a reference. But I do know that has been studied, I want to say, within the past couple of years. What I would suggest is number one, talking to your doctor about it, but number two, maybe just go into Google, go to WebMD, try Life Extension, type in silver gels, and see what pops up there. But yeah, I am aware of some wound studies. I think mostly in surgical wounds, but wound studies in preventing MRSA with these silver gels. So that is something there to consider. Number four, can you explain the difference between laboratory studies and clinical studies? Well, I only have about a minute, so I don't know if I can. It is confusing. There's a lot of different types of studies. Laboratory studies, real quickly, are basically Petri dish studies, where you take a Petri dish and maybe you put some cells in there, you add in some sort of test material, and you see what kind of change happens within the cell, whether it's positive, negative, whatever. That's a laboratory study. A clinical study is when you're measuring the effect of something in humans in a clinical setting, giving, you know, CoQ10 to heart patients and see if that decreases heart failure. That would be a clinical study. There you go. Ask me all your questions. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.